Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. If you have a Bible question or some life issue you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, because we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now. It's Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, we had a great time with Andrew for a couple of days, and today, welcome back to you.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back. And Andrew is just a fantastic communicator and really knows the grace of God and the message of the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection, and just has a wonderful way of communicating it. And we're just really pleased and honored to be connected with him and that he serves with us. So, Andrew, thank you so much for your great work through the broadcast. We sure appreciate it. Bob, this month we've been talking about the implications of the resurrection in our life and really what does it mean to be saved, how to live out who we are in Christ Jesus. And I've put together a series that we're offering through this month called Living Life on the Edge. And, you know, we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live this new life that we have in Christ in the world. And the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of grace, to the way of grace. And so the world is constantly exerting pressure on us to conform. That's why Paul would write in Romans 12, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Peter touches on that theme as well and talks about how the world is always going to exert pressure on us. So we have those external pressures, and not only that, we have the internal desires of the flesh. So when you and I were saved, and this is so important to really grasp, to understand, when we were saved, that was a spiritual birth. We were born again of the Spirit. So our spirits were dead to God. And then through faith in Jesus Christ, our spirits are now alive to God. We have been made fully alive in Christ Jesus. So that's the new part of us. Our souls, that's the mind, the emotion, and will. That aspect of it is being renewed. So our spirit, the Spirit of God joined to our human spirit, becomes the source of truth that feeds our mind, that takes the things out of the Word of God, gives us understanding of what those things are. And so the Spirit begins to renew our mind. And as our minds are renewed, then our choices start to follow suit, and we carry those out through our bodies, through our actions. So that's how it works. It starts at the spiritual aspect of who we are, flows through our minds, through our choices, and then our actions follow suit. Now, the problem is that we still have desires of the flesh. We still live in this body that is subject to sin and death. All of our bodies are going to die one day. They're going to go into a grave. And within the members of our body, as Paul wrote in Romans 7, sin still dwells, and we still have these fleshly desires. And so we have the desires of the Spirit that are now living in us, and we have the desires of the flesh. So there's the conflict. So we have the external pressures from the world to conform to the patterns of this world, and then we have the internal desires of the flesh that wage war against our souls, against our mind, emotions, and will. And how do we come through that victoriously? How do we walk in the Spirit so that we're not gratifying the desires of the flesh? Well, Paul addresses that in Romans 13, and he says this, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So that's our hope that we're waiting for in Jesus Christ, that blessed hope that will really be made real to us at the appearing of Christ. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, and here's the practical advice, the practical encouragement that Paul has for each and every one of us. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, or put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is an imperative. This is a command. God through Paul is saying, do this. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been made new in Christ. Christ is living in you. Let your attitudes reflect this newness of life that you have in Him. Let your actions reflect who you are in Jesus Christ. Let it all line up with the new you. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh, or make no provision to gratify the desires of the flesh. A lot of people are not content with what they have in Jesus. They're not content with this new life that they have in Christ. And so they look to the things of the world, or they look to those fleshly desires as a means for happiness and fulfillment in this earthly life. And so they think about how to indulge the desires of the flesh. They make plans. So, you know, the wife leaves and the husband is thinking, okay, I'm going to watch this channel on television, or I'm going to spend some time on the computer, and pornography pops up. And so you've made a provision to gratify the desire of the flesh, and you've done it beforehand. You've thought about this ahead of time.
Yeah.
And so when the setting is right, then you can carry out your plan. And so what Paul is saying, don't even think about those things. Realize that you have new life in Christ, and there's nothing out there in the world that can satisfy you the way Christ does.
Yeah.
There's no one out there that can bring contentment to the heart and real joy to the soul other than Christ Jesus. No one like Jesus. Yeah. So when you recognize that and recognize the great hope that you have, then you can just put aside the thinking about how you might gratify the desires of the flesh. This is practical advice, folks, and we have to realize those fleshly desires are there. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's walk in the Spirit. And the end result, the byproduct of that, is we will not fulfill or gratify those desires of the flesh.
Well, it's a wonderful series that Bob has mentioned, and it's called Living Life on the Edge, and we're offering it on both CD and DVD, and it can be yours as you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And Bob, as you have so eloquently put it, living life on the edge, well, we don't have to do that.
No,
we
don't.
We have the power of Jesus Christ living in us, and he is the one that's going to make sure that we don't step forward, but step back instead.
Yes, indeed.
Well, we have open lines, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hello, this is Wed from Bend, Oregon again. I was just asking about the worms in the lake of fire. So maybe this is two things, the same question, but I would just want to know. Thank you.
Well, Webb, thanks for asking about that. It's an unusual question, but we find the reference concerning that in Mark chapter 9. And Jesus is talking about you know, sin. It says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell or Gehenna. And Gehenna, there was a valley in Jerusalem. It's still there. It's been cleaned up. But back in Jesus's day, it was the place where all the trash and refuse went. And, you know, there were sacrificial areas. Even before that, people would offer human sacrifices. And there was lots of just awful things going on there. But in the time of Jesus, it was kind of the trash heap, and it was filled with worms. And the real word here is maggots. And it says, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God than one eye with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. And that was the reality. That's what they saw in Jerusalem day in and day out in this valley of Gehenna, an unquenchable fire with, and every time you threw something in there, if the fire didn't get it, it was eaten by the maggots.
Yeah.
They were always there. So it's just a reference to that. So we see that here in Mark chapter 9. That is a reference to Isaiah 66, which is also a reference to Isaiah 14 about maggots and worms covering those that have fallen through pride and arrogance and rebellion against God.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about here is, this is serious business. You need to recognize that there's no life apart from Christ, and you need to turn whatever rebellion you have in your heart to faith in Jesus Christ. You need to recognize that the end result of man apart from Jesus is what you saw in that valley of Gehenna, and that's not a good that's not a good destiny at all. But there is an option, and that option is new life in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is receive him.
Indeed. Webb, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And Bob, a few moments ago, we had a call from Cindy. The subject was salvation, and she had to hang up for some reason. So let's assume that the question was, what must I do to be saved?
Well, that's a good question. And Cindy, thanks for calling, and we hope you're listening right now. Salvation is tied to an event that happened 2,000 years ago, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. That is the good news story. So Christ died. He was buried. That happened on one day. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And then 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And when you and I receive that good news, when we welcome that good news, when we say with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we're saved. Mm-hmm. Now, what does it mean to be saved? Well, it means that we go from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life in Jesus. So when you and I came into this world, we were dead spiritually. That was what Adam and Eve passed on to all of mankind, of humanity. So every person that has been born into this world comes into this world dead spiritually. We wonder, and, you know, my daughter Mackenzie just had a son almost a year ago, and just the cutest little thing, and boy, he is just a jewel, and I love the granddad gig. And you look at him and you think, wow, he is just as innocent and as pure as he possibly can be. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason they call the twos the terrible twos is because that spiritual death starts to manifest itself in ways like selfishness, like biting and hitting and not wanting to share and all of those sort of things.
Yeah.
And then as somebody grows, we just see more and more signs that something is wrong deep inside of us. Well, that's spiritual death. Well, the only solution to that is life. And the only one who has life to give is Jesus Christ himself. And so when we believe the good news story, when we respond to the good news story, those events that happened 2,000 years ago, something happens to us today. We go from death to life in Jesus Christ. And with that, our sins have been removed, forgiven once and for all. We've been declared righteous in the sight of God. We're given a new identity, children of God. And God sends his Spirit to take up residence in us. So that is what salvation is all about.
Yeah.
It's going from death to life in Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone out there that may be having that question, what must I do to be saved? It's as simple as looking to Jesus, calling upon the name of Jesus, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Why? Because if God has power over death, then he can raise you from the dead spiritually so that you can walk in the newness of life. Simply receive him today.
Yeah.
Your life will never, ever be the same.
Cindy, although you had to hang up, I hope you're listening, and I really hope that this has been a help to you. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher is back today for the first time in a week or so. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you're with us, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today?
I'm a longtime listener. Love your ministry and appreciate it very much. I believe in prayer. Okay, I had a buddy ask me one time, "Don't you believe in prayer?" But I get a little bit concerned about phrases like "power of prayer," "prayer warrior." Let's all get together and have donuts and then pray for 30 minutes. And I guess I really talk to the Lord. I am not a person that sets aside a specific amount of time and that sort of thing. I talk to the Lord. I travel a lot. We talk to each other a good bit. But I guess I'm just trying to get some direction on exactly what prayer is about. And sometimes I feel like we are treating it like if we get enough people to pray, we'll wake God up and he'll do something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I
just have a problem with that.
Yeah. So, well, and you should have a problem with that because that's not biblical prayer. Biblical prayer is just a conversation with God. And we have the privilege of having that conversation with God because he's reached out to us in the person of Jesus Christ and enabled us to have that relationship with him. So God always initiates, we respond. And so the problem with trying to get all these people together to pray about something is we think we're in the role of initiator, and then because we have all these numbers on our side, that God is going to have to respond and do what we ask him. Well, that's never going to be the case. God is always going to initiate to us. We're simply going to respond to him. So I think as far as prayer is concerned, As we grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as we're learning more and more about who he is, as we read the Word of God, then that information, that knowledge, that relationship is going to shape the way that we pray, the things that we pray about. And so I think one of the things that you're going to see is when you pray, there's going to be a lot of thankfulness. As to what Christ has done in your life, as what Christ is doing in and through your life, at just some of the blessings that you have in your life. I think there's going to be a lot of thankfulness. And then
I find that oftentimes God's already done stuff, and my prayer is, I didn't ask for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's recognizing, Bob, the fact that God knows more about you than you know about yourself. You know, we throw up prayers thinking we really know what's going to make us happy, that's going to really satisfy us, and we just don't really know. But God does. And so if we'll just leave things to God to let him do in and through us what he wants to do, then I think we're going to have a life filled with surprises, great surprises, and hearts filled with thanksgiving for what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. We're going through an awful lot, and I feel like I don't feel compelled to enlist an army of people. I'm just trusting the Lord to get us through it. I don't understand some of it all the time, but that's kind of where I am. And, I've often wondered, how much is enough? Am I praying enough? And that's not even a valid question, is it? It's not a, how can I possibly pray enough? I mean, that's not even a fair question.
Well, Bob, you have the opportunity to pray without ceasing. Why? Because the Lord lives inside of you. As you go through your day 24/7, the Lord is right there with you. And so you're just having this continual conversation with him about everything that's going on. Sometimes you have special times where you step aside and you say, hey, here's something, a burning concern that's in my heart, and I just want to share with you, Lord. Well, he already knows it, but he loves for you to share that with him. And, you know, the prayer isn't going to change God, but in praying, it may give you some ideas on how you can be a part of this concern that you have, maybe sharing Christ with somebody, maybe, oh, well, here's a way that I can help. So prayer can change you in that regard.
Yep, that's good.
But here, let me point you to a resource. We have a YouTube channel. I don't know if you go to YouTube, but it's Basic Gospel, YouTube. And we have a video on prayer that answers that. It's a little more thorough. And certainly encourage you to go there, Bob.
Thank you. Well, I use your resources a great deal, and just got the Twisted Scriptures book by the way. And I highly recommend. I'll have to email you guys and tell you how the Lord pointed us to you guys years ago. But I appreciate what you're doing, and keep it up. Thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome, Bob. Now.
Yes,
We had a comment on YouTube, don't we see groups of people praying? Well, absolutely there are groups of people praying. We pray together when we meet together in church. We pray together in Bible studies. And all that's important, but we have to realize that when we pray, we're responding as a people of God. We're responding to the initiative of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will get that right, then these prayers will be effective tools to motivate us and move us to carry out working out what God is doing in and through us. So,
yeah.
Bob, we certainly appreciate your question.
We surely do.
Yeah, let's go to Mary Jo in Louisville. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. Well, I've got a praise report. I called you a week ago, and I thought, Richard Pfeiffer said you don't thank the Lord for being sick. So he was totally different from yours. Give thanks in all things. And I started doing that, and I started feeling better. But what helps you not keep it into a expecting that all the time? Or does the Lord want you to expect that all the time?
What, that giving thanks is going to be a benefit to you?
Well, about when you get sick, and just give thanks, and you'll get better.
Well, the giving thanks is a part of just that relationship you have with the Lord, and it's a part of praying. It's expressing that heart of gratitude toward Him, the fact that nothing can separate you from the love of God, that all your sins have been forgiven, that you've been made right in God's sight, that you have this blessed hope that one day you're going to be with the Lord forever. Well, that truth is powerful, and it can affect the way we think. We think about how we think about the circumstances that we go through, and if it's going to affect how we think, then it can have a positive influence on how our bodies respond to these circumstances. I think I think scientists have done some studies about the power of giving thanks and just how positive that is in a person's life. And God knew all about that a long, long time ago, and that's why He's constantly reminding us and telling us to give thanks in all things.
Mary Jo, good to hear from you. We're out of time, so thanks for calling, and I'm sure we'll be speaking with you again. And friends, to say thanks for your generous gift this month, we want to send you our series, Living Life on the Edge. Now, this series and the accompanying book maps out the biblical way to handle the temptations of the world. Request your copy when you make your gift to Basic Gospel, and let the grace of God teach you how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright lives while we await the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Living Life on the Edge. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Tomorrow we continue with our excellent series, The Power of Eight, and we hope you're going to be here for that. But if you have a question before our broadcast on Monday, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for all of us here at the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope you will be here tomorrow for The Power of Eight, because it's basic gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.